Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. This is our regularly scheduled business meeting. Before we get started, a couple items. This board met an executive session at 5 p.m. to discuss legal matters. And then we concluded at 5:30 and began a public hearing. It was a continuation of a public hearing from February 22nd. That concluded approximately 6:45. And we are now ready for this evening's meeting. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I just advise all people attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. So when we get to the point in time where it's public comment, we ask anybody who stands up to speak, please identify yourself by first name, last name, and address. All that information is taken into the record, and so the public record is accurate, right? And we ask that, we'll get to the rules around public comment when we get there, but there aren't many, but we'll get to them. So the first item of it for the night, though, is I ask everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Parada?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Present.
There are four present and one absent.
Yes, and a note for the record, Mr. Wyckoff had an unexpected medical issue that prevents him from being at the meeting tonight. Certainly, that's an excused absence, and we look forward to seeing him at the next meeting. All right, with that, the first item on our agenda is visitor public comment. So anyone wishing to address the board today, we ask that you keep your comments to about 3 minutes. Generally, it's a hard and fast rule, but try to get to your point within that period of time so we can keep the meeting moving. That's about the only rule other than just state your full name, first name, last name, and address. So open it up to the floor. There are two public comment sessions, one at the beginning of the meeting, one at the end. So anyone from the public wishing to address the board?
Good evening, Kevin Ferguson, 1338 Quail Hollow Road. I just want to briefly address the upcoming closure of Waltonville Road. And I'd like to ask if the township ask the trust for routine updates on that project. Because, as you know, eight months is an extraordinary amount of time. And there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be displaced from that, not just Bullfrog Valley, Waltonville, but also Milltown Road as well. And not only we inconvenience, but also our the response time for first responders, emergency responders, that's going to be a problem as well. 8 months is a long period of time. So if they can keep us updated, and that would probably put some pressure on them to get the project done, keep the public informed. And if they want to, my concern is that a lot of this time might be spent on decorating the roundabout itself. And, you know, it's theirs, they're taking care of it so they can do with it what they want. But I think the focus should be getting the road open. If they want to do that, perhaps shut the road down from midnight to 6, but let's get that road open as soon as they can. And frequent updates would be a good idea for the public to know what's going on. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Good comment. Thank you. We'll take that under advisement, and we'll discuss that with the trust for sure. One way or another, whether they do it, we will make sure we're giving updates, because we do recognize that it is, to your point, a very long time, and we're all concerned with the length of that time. So, good point. Any other comment for the record, please? Okay, so we'll move on to the next item, which is the consent calendar. There are two items on the consent calendar for approval. We can take these items all together, or we can separate them. That's the discretion of the board. The items on the consent calendar, under A, it's the adoption of the Board of Supervisors minutes for the February 22nd public hearing, the one that began at 5:30 p.m. Then it's the adoption of the Board of Supervisors minutes for the February 22nd, 2022 public hearing, which began at 6:34 p.m. And lastly, the adoption of the Board of Supervisor minutes for February 22nd, 2022 from the regular meeting, which began at 7 p.m. And then item B under the consent calendar is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $1,158,070.58. Payroll in the amount of $310,485.11. So we can take those items separately or together, and it's at the discretion of the board. Is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion to approve the consent calendar, both A and B.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt to approve both items under the consent calendar at one time. Motion seconded by Mr. Samuda. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. That takes us to new business. The first item under new business is the Pennsylvania Law Enforcement Accreditation Commission presentation of the reaccreditation of the Township of Barry Police Department. Chief Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some of the summary is actually taken off the PLEAC website. Some of it is some information that I have, and then I'll let Jim Adams from PLEAC, our retired director chief from Upper Allen Township, take over from there. So the Pennsylvania Chiefs of Police Association and the Pennsylvania Law Enforcement Accreditation Commission are presenting to the Barry Township Police Department with their most recent certificate of law enforcement accreditation through PLEAC. Accreditation is a time-proven way of helping institutions evaluate and improve their overall performance. The cornerstone of this strategy lies in the promulgation of standards containing a clear statement of professional objectives. Participating administrators then conduct a thorough analysis to determine how existing operations can be adapted to meet these objectives. When the procedures are in place, a team of independent professionals is assigned to verify that all applicable standards have been successfully implemented. The process culminates with a decision by the authoritative body that the institution is worthy of accreditation. The Derry Township Police Department has been involved in the PLEAC since its inception, with the retired chief of police, James Nagley, serving as one of the original commission members. It was his vision to elevate the professional standards in the Derry Township Police Department that still leads us to this day and has instituted pride in our department and the women and men who carry out our mission and values. Not only are we receiving our most current accreditation, but we have achieved premier agency status with PLEAC, achieving reaccreditation 5 times without provisions or extensions. This accreditation is definitely a teamwork effort led by Julia Shirk, our accreditation manager. Lieutenant Roach has a big hand in the accreditation process. And then all the women and men of the department that actually carry out our standards and prove that we are following the standards and policies. It's always said that accreditation is something that's attainable. What the hard part is keeping that accreditation going and reaccrediting it every cycle. That's where the real work comes in. So to have gone these 5 cycles without provisions or extensions is something to be said for the women and men of the Derry Township Police Department. And I'll turn it over to Jim Adams for the presentation.
Well, Chief, you stole my thunder, but thank goodness that gives me 3 full minutes to talk, unless this isn't part of public comment. I'm no longer limited to just 3 minutes. But thank you, and I want to pick up on that. And it's not just about the agency and staff and the elected officials that have to be behind the police department years ago when they made that decision, but it's also about a culture. It's a culture of best practices. And I just want to tell you a little story that I have intimate knowledge about that goes back to about 2001 to a newly promoted lieutenant who was called into his chief's office and told, your first assignment is to get this department accredited. And that chief told this newly promoted lieutenant that he just signed them up for this new Pennsylvania Chiefs of Police Association program called accreditation. That newly promoted lieutenant scratched his head and says, what's accreditation? I'm not sure I even know how to spell it. And the chief explained a little bit, well, it's about writing policy and stuff, and this newly promoted lieutenant, so I know how to write policy, but having me do that as a sergeant, no problem. So this newly promoted lieutenant ran over to the PA chiefs, and back in the day before the advent of all the technology and everything, actually picked up boxes full of labels, stamp, paper, copies of standards and information. And he sat in his office for 2 days going through it, scratching his head, and having no idea what to do, and walked back into his chief's office and said, "Chief, I've been looking at this stuff for 2 days, and I have no idea what to do." He said, "Okay." Next day, he calls the lieutenant into his office and said, "Tomorrow you're going over to Derry Township Police Department. Their lieutenant is working on accreditation. He's about ready to apply for Pennsylvania accreditation. You're going to spend the day with him." That newly promoted lieutenant went over and spent a day with your lieutenant, at that time was the accreditation manager, and not only learned about accreditation, but learned about the bigger picture about accreditation. Truly learned about establishing best practices, writing policy, knowing how to prove that the agency was actually following those policies. That lieutenant then developed a passion for accreditation. The reason I have intimate knowledge, I'm that clueless lieutenant that didn't know how to spell accreditation back in 2001. That relationship continued because Derry Township really was one of the first agencies to truly embrace accreditation before it was popular. Derry Township actually became accredited before it was just a popular thing to do, and it was the right thing to do. And they not only held it within Derry Township, they spread the word across Pennsylvania. And that lieutenant went across Pennsylvania helping other agencies. And then I met your current accreditation manager, Julie Sharp, who is a blessing for you. She truly understands accreditation, and I use her as one of the assessors to go across Pennsylvania assessing other police departments. Accreditation isn't just a sticker that you earn, and it's a lifetime achievement. As Chief Warner said, it takes a lot of work. Actually, getting the initial assessment completed is probably one of the easiest parts. But then to continue it takes a lot of continuous work on behalf of not just the accreditation manager, but the entire agency to embrace accreditation. Just to give you a couple statistics, I won't bore you with a lot of them. Currently, there's approximately 1,100 municipal police departments in Pennsylvania. Since 2001, there have been 151 agencies accredited. Currently, there's 142 accredited. Why the drop in number? There's a lot of reasons. Because every 3 years, the agency has to have a reassessment done, which is a complete review of files and proofs of compliance. And some agencies just don't cut it every 3 years. So it's not an easy program to maintain. But we look at other, we're not the only entity that does accreditation. I'm sure a lot of you have children who walk to college. You want them to go to an accredited college. There's a lot of accrediting bodies. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that in law enforcement, there is accrediting bodies. Pennsylvania is one of 32 states that has an accreditation program. We currently have 142 agencies accredited. We now have 17 premier agencies. So when you look at the big picture, 1,100 agencies, only 152 are currently accredited, one of those being Derry Township. And then taking it a step further, there's only 17 that have been able to maintain their accreditation through five of those three-year cycles, one of those 17 being Derry Township. The other piece I'll just leave you with as far as the importance of accreditation, back when a lot of the initiatives came out after the unfortunate incident with George Floyd, and in Pennsylvania, a couple of the state elected officials came out with what they perceived to be the Eight Can't Wait initiatives, and you might have heard of them. They just thought these reforms have to be put in place now by all police departments. We got a copy of the Eight Can't Wait initiatives, and guess what? Not only your police department, but all the accredited agencies already had those practices in place. Not only did they have them on paper as far as a policy meeting those best practices, but they had the proofs in place to show that they've been doing it for a long time. So, not saying that new initiatives aren't going to come out that we don't have a standard in, but I can assure you your police department is ahead of the game as far as being involved in best practices. Not only can they say it, but they have the proof to show it. And I'm here tonight, I'm very proud. This is one of the best parts of my job, is coming out publicly and presenting not only the three-year reaccred certificate, but the premier plaque showing that your agency has been involved for a long time. If you want to learn more about accreditation, as your chief said, we have a webpage. It's a ton of information, all of the 139 standards. There's a lot of bullets within those standards that you can actually look at what all accomplishments your police department and the best practices they're adhering to. So sometimes I get asked, well, what's the benefit of it? How can we show it? Well, it's one of those things that's hard to prove. Can't tell you how many lawsuits have been prevented because you're displaying that accreditation seal. And the few lawsuits that do come through, it certainly minimizes the impact of that lawsuit. It's sort of like saying, how many burglaries did your police officers prevent last night on night shift? We don't know. So anyhow, thank you for indulging me. I apologize. I think I went over my 3 minutes. And if I may, I'd like to call your chief up and publicly present him with both the three-year reaccred certificate and the five, or the premier plaque that we'd like to present.
Is there any chance I can get the board members down here as well?
Sure, we can arrange that. You'd like us to come down?
Yeah, I would appreciate it.
Therefore, we shall come down.
Can't do it without your support, so.
Thank you.
Side will be good.
So that was very nice. Congratulations to the police department. We are indeed very proud of the department, and most of us have been here for long enough to know how important that accreditation has been, and I would agree that Jim Negley was really at the forefront of all that in this community, and he deserves a lot of credit for making sure that we as a board focused on supporting the department in that initiative. And it is truly a distinction across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that we hold here in the township that we should be very proud of. So thank you.
Thank you.
That will take us to the next item on the agenda, which is B. It's the consideration of appointments to the Derry Township Tax Association. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, each year we conduct reappointments and appointments to various authorities, boards, and commissions. And in the case of the Derry Township Tax Association, its bylaws recommend that the association itself recommends potential appointees to vacant terms on that particular association. They make recommendations to both the township and the school district at the same time or concurrently. And so there are three vacancies that we're recommending filling, and the association has recommended the following individuals for appointment. Linda Iyer with a term expiring December 31, 2024. Robert Simonera with a term expiring December 31, 2023, and Kim O'Connell with a term expiring December 31, 2022. Again, if there aren't any questions, they're in a position to be voted on this evening. And Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back to you.
All right, any questions for Mr. Christman on these candidates for appointment? If not, we can take one motion for all. We just have to distinguish, if to do so, on the actual term that expires. Or we can take individual motions. Anyone wishing to offer a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors appoint the following individuals to the Danvers Township Tax Association as follows. Linda Iyer, for a term expiring December 31st, 2024. And I just lost my agenda. And Bob Ceremonera, with a term expiring December 31st, 2023. And Kim O'Connell, with a term expiring December 31st, 2022.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
What happened over there? Somebody second.
Somebody second.
Mr. Corrado, sounds like you seconded it. It was close. Any discussion on the motion? So the motion is to appoint Mrs. Iyer, Mr. Ceremonera, and Mrs. O'Connell, based on the terms that Mrs. Nutt already indicated. Is there any hearing? No discussion? All those in favor of approving the motion, and appointing Mrs. Iyer, Mr. Ceremonera, and Mrs. O'Connell, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and they are so appointed by the township. And Mr. Chrisman, their appointment will take place after the school board votes also?
Correct, and they're going to be voting later this month.
Okay. Very good. That will take us to the next item on the agenda, which is C, the request. So requesting authorization for HRG to proceed with the scope of work for the installation of crosswalk improvements located at Chocolate Avenue and Valley Road, Cocoa Avenue, and Brook Lane. Mr. Chrisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, the township has been considering making improvements to a number of crosswalks throughout the township. And before you this evening is a scope of work prepared by HRG for the installation of those improvements at specifically two intersections already noted, Chocolate Avenue and Valley and Cocoa Avenue and Brook Lane. The total cost for the scope of work to proceed is $4,800. That work would be built against the general engineering line item, which is 01408313. This is work that's been discussed probably ad nauseum in our transportation committee and is finally in a position for us to move forward. In addition to all of that, this is also lining up at a perfect time for the local share grant that has just become available for up to $1 million. Representative Mahaffey's office made us aware of that deadline. I think it's March 15th. The board, it's a no-match grant for us, and that's not what the topic of this particular item is, but it is connected. We will look to make application through the scope of work for some of these intersections for that money. It's a great use of money that's on the table, and we certainly don't want to leave it there. Again, it is a no-match grant for us. So I'm recommending to the board tonight that you proceed with the scope of work outlined in your packet in the attached letter. I believe that is dated March 3rd, 2022.
Just a question, either for you, Mr. Christman, or anyone else, general description of these improvements. I know we've talked about them at different meetings, but flashing lights at these crosswalks, but what are we expecting to be installed here? Just so that we're clear.
Do you want to take it? This is a transportation group.
As Mr. Christman stated before, we've been discussing this ad nauseum for feels like decades now, but we're finally getting to the finish line. These are lights that would flash at certain crosswalks as a pedestrian presses a button nearby to indicate to traffic that somebody is getting ready to cross. And these are in response to complaints we've received over the last few years about traffic not stopping or not recognizing that somebody is in a crosswalk. I think this is the first of a couple that we're looking at installing down the road. Oh, Mr. Emmerich here will bring up a picture of what they're going to look like, hopefully. There they go. And that's what they're going to look like. The plan is to have one on each side of the street. And hopefully the motorists will comply. If not, we'll have to talk to Chief Warner to help us with that.
I think with across the street, there would be good improvements, and we have to talk about them. I think it seems evident that they're needed, so.
I know I've been pushing them for, ever since I got on the transportation committee, Ms. Nutt has been pushing with me the last 2 years, so.
And we're kind of spoken a lot about, especially the Cocoa Avenue in Brook.
Right.
As the community center opens, that'll be an important one because kids and families who are living in the village will be walking over to the community center, and this will hopefully help provide them safe passage as they cross Cocoa Avenue.
Yeah, not just that, but school will be letting out in the fall. And that's over the years. I live in that area, so over the years, that intersection there has been a huge crosswalk for kids coming home. And God knows we have to be a little more careful with the kids and the traffic in that area.
And we know that we've had issues on Chocolate Avenue, and clearly I think we've identified Valley is a tough area to cross on Chocolate, and this ought to help, again, be another visual, something that's tracked drivers' eyes and get them to proceed with caution and stop, right, the people on the crosswalk. So
that was our number one area to look at. And we have, I guess there's several other areas we're starting to look at too, aside from the Cocoa and Brook and Valley and Chocolate. But we'll be looking at installing those, or looking at planning on installing those down the road.
And honestly, Fishburg and Hartley, so is that's going to be done at the same time, 11 part of it?
No, we have to go through an approval process, a study process. I'm assuming HRG will help us with that.
Yeah, because that's another
yeah.
spot that people do not stop, and folks trying to get across there struggle with that.
Yep, that's a different funding stream.
Yeah.
It gets very confusing juggling
yes.
all of these and trying to get Valley moved ahead of everything else, which is an agenda item this evening.
All right, well, any other questions? Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Natalie and Chris. Any questions? If not, we can entertain a motion.
I'll do the motion for this. I'll make a motion to authorize the Township Manager, Chris Christman, to execute the scope of work identified in the HRG letter dated March 3rd, 2022, for an amount not to exceed $4,800.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zmuda. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of authorizing the Township Manager to work with HRG and to get the scope of work approved for the installation of the crosswalks as identified by Mr. Zmuda, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you, everyone. Moving along on the agenda is D. It's the consideration of Resolution 2022-09. It's the appointment of delegates to the Dauphin County Tax Collection Committee. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you tonight, it's Resolution 2022-09. This will appoint delegates to the Dauphin County Tax Collection Committee. As you might be aware, Act 32, which was approved a number of years ago, created tax collection committees for the entire Commonwealth, and it was broken down by county. In this case, this resolution identifies both a primary, a first alternate, and a second alternate voting delegate so that the township would have adequate representation on that committee. We are recommending as the primary voting delegate Linda Iyer, as first alternate voting delegate myself, and the second alternate voting delegate is Cheryl Lamas. This resolution, if it's passed this evening, would be shared with the TCC to make this appointment formal, and then any of these individuals could then attend any upcoming TCC meeting to vote on issues that would affect the EIT collection throughout the county.
Questions for Mr. Christman? If not, is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve Resolution 2022-09 as stated.
All
I'll second.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt, seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is E. It's the consideration of a support letter for Donaldstown Borough for an application for the local share grant program. Mr. Christopher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as I noted under our previous agenda, item C, about the local share grant process. The borough of Hummelstown is also concurrently seeking application for this same pool of money. They have reached out to the township for a letter of support, which is included in your packet for pedestrian improvements within their downtown business district. If the board is amenable to doing that this evening, we'll certainly draft a letter based on the model that's included in your packet, and I will sign it on behalf of the township for inclusion in their application packet.
Any questions for Mr. Crispin? I have just one for clarification, so I'll just start with how does this, you know, so we're essentially being asked to provide a letter of support for Hummelstown Borough. What's the tie-in for Derry Township? I mean, why would we normally give another municipality a letter of support?
I would just say in the past we've been very supportive of Hummelstown Borough's request for grant applications. Particularly where we have connections on the border, where residents from both Derry Township and the borough can transverse, whether it's through a trail or through a connection, to have greater pedestrian access to the borough, to the downtown district. I assume that most of this is sort of the same thing when we would try to get access further into the borough, but it is on their side of the border. Certainly if the board doesn't want to approve a letter of support, have to do it, or just merely asking because we've been supportive for a lot of their projects in the past.
It does appear from the materials that there is eventually a tie into the West End development, I mean, at some point. So, I mean, that makes sense then that we at least support their request because the money would go towards that development of. I'm just looking at their proposal, whether part of it is, I don't know, it's a trail or a crosswalk. All right.
Chuck, can you comment on that one?
No, not. I mean, it's going to tie to the roundabout of Hershey West End, which will extend the sidewalks up to the overpass.
Yeah, I think that's what Chris was looking for, some kind of confirmation on that. Thank you.
And Matt can add a little bit, being involved in both projects.
Yes, there's not a trail proposed. These would be upgrades throughout the borough for crosswalks, pedestrian safety, you know, many of the same things that Derry Town is looking at. The crossing that you're referring to is already funded through multiple grants. So Hummelstown did a master study throughout the borough to improve many, many intersections, that being one. So this local share is looking to fund the balance of their proposed improvements from their master plan. And I believe that's what this letter of support is asking for.
I'm willing to support it. I just think the next time it would probably be appropriate for somebody from the borough to come and explain. I'm happy to give them a letter of support. It seems odd to me that we're a neighboring municipality and that these improvements, sounds like the improvements don't even impact our residents. Nevertheless, I'm happy to help them as a neighboring municipality, but I think in the future we should request that they at least come to the meeting and present it to us. So we just have a little background on what we're voting for. But any other questions or comments?
I would say that's reasonable, but because of the short leash we have on this, I think we would have to, because I would suggest put tabling this for now and then asking somebody. This is the short leash we have right now. I think the 15th has to be responded to by. We should vote on this today.
Yeah, I'm happy to move forward. But you'll recall this happened a couple months ago too.
Yeah.
It was a fast turnaround. We did a lot of internal maneuvering so you could do something within a couple of days. And so
to add it to an agenda at the last minute, things of that nature, and just...
Well, I think that where does the request come in? Does it come into you, Chris?
It came from another member of the board through me.
Yes, it didn't come from the borough manager or... So we just... And that's fine. Requests can come from different places,
sure.
But it doesn't mean that they don't... That there's no responsibility on the part of the applicant to at least come forward so that people in our community can understand what we're approving and why we're... Excuse me, why we're approving it. So I don't want to belabor the point. I'm happy to vote on it. So any further questions or comments? All right, then we can entertain a motion. Probably nobody wants to make it now.
I'm happy to make it. I move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to prepare and sign a letter of support for the Borough of Millstown for its application for a local share grant as identified this evening.
Motion made by Mrs. Lutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is F. It's the consideration of an amendment to the Township's official map, Chapter 126 of the Code of the Township of Derry. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the official map is one of the tools in our tool belt that we don't talk about often. So I'm going to give you just a high level of what it is. It's a combined map and ordinance designed to proactively plan for future growth in the municipality. It helps implement the elements of an adopted comprehensive plan, and it was a recommendation that stemmed out of our 2015 comprehensive plan. In other words, the map was developed after that. It was a recommendation of the plan. The purpose of it is to show future improvements on the official map, to inform property owners and developers of municipal goals and intentions in advance of development. Any items shown on an official map do not constitute taking in and of itself. It simply gives the municipality an opportunity to negotiate acquisition of property or rights thereto where a public use would be beneficial before development or redevelopment occurs. Once the property owner or developer notifies the municipality of their intention to build, subdivide, or otherwise develop their property, that opens a window of a year for the municipality to act on the items shown on an official map. In this case, Jay Ziegler has prepared a plan, or has had a subdivision plan prepared, for his property, and has also put in a request to be released from the obligations of the official map. In this particular case, this obligation was looking at improvements or realignment of the intersection of Bullfrog Valley Road and Sand Hill Road, Roush Road area. Those improvements came out of two studies that were done, or one study that was done, and another planning document. So as Mr. Ziegler noted in his request to the board, there was a 2003 Sand Hill Road study for conceptual realignment. It was done by HRG. He also notes that there was actually an easement for additional right-of-way that was dated May 11th, 2005. And that was done prior to the changing of the zoning for the Roush Farm to help entitle the development that never actually occurred there. That easement expired on May 11th of 2012. So that right-of-way is no longer easily available to the township. However, you know, since that time, 2003 to 2012, we've done a lot of studying of our roads in the township, the last document being the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study. This study did look at this intersection, but was recommending pedestrian improvements more so than realignment of the intersection. As you look at the Greater Hershey study, it shows over 70 development projects, over 70 projects to improve roads in the township, with this not being one of the intersections. Therefore, I'm recommending that in this case, the board, let me add one other thing too. Garth looked for me to see if there were any reportable accidents at this intersection over the last few years and found none. So I think the urgency of doing anything at this intersection has waned. And even I'd go as far as to say that any issues with traffic at this intersection could probably more easily be solved with the stop signs, as we did at Bullfrog Valley Road, than with actual road improvements. For those reasons, I'm recommending the Board of Supervisors agrees to release the obligation from Mr. Ziegler's property. In accordance with an official map, there's two ways to do that. One would be to amend the map to remove the improvement. This would require, of course, an ordinance, revised map, hearings, and the like. The other method to amend the official map is by approval of the final plan, which, again, Mr. Ziegler has in front of the board present. The act goes on to note that approval of the final plan will amend the map without the need for hearings or notices. In this case, I believe that that's the appropriate way to address Mr. Ziegler's request, and that once and if Plat 1347, which is the plan that I'm projecting on the screen, makes its way to the Board of Supervisors, that they would consider approval of the plan. Just to explain this subdivision a little bit, Mr. Ziegler owns lands on both sides of Bullfrog Valley Road under 1D. This plan is in some jurisdictions would be called a de facto subdivision or a subdivision by right-of-way. So in essence, he's not proposing to change anything on the land except make one lot that spans both sides of the road, into two individual lots. That concludes my presentation.
I do feel like there have been accidents at the top of Bullfrog Valley Road, but maybe not involving cars. Are you Mr. Ziegler?
Yes, I am. Jay Ziegler, 971 Bullfrog Valley Road. I've owned that property since 1983. I'm glad to answer any questions the board may have about it. I find myself here again, as I did in 2016, doing the same thing. So I assume you've seen my letter.
Yes. All of
you.
Yes.
I mean, I spent time trying to detail. I know it's a long story, but I thought, and you, Mr. Mazzuta, you were not on there really at the time on the board. 2016, you came in afterwards. Okay, so everybody's new to this situation.
I'm familiar with your issues.
We all thought it was removed back when they did the official map, because we felt at the time the study was not done, strictly done for that development, and that was why the road alignment issue came up in the first place. As I also have my neighbor here, Steve Hine, he's affected by this realignment. I do have a letter, as I promised, in my particular letter to the other neighbor that has moved since then. And I have a copy of their email, and I'm glad to give that to you then for the record. But I'll just say that Steve Hine, or Steve and Penny Navasol, in their letter they just said, understanding the wording was changed to road improvements instead of road alignment, and the map had the realignment removed. So they also felt the same thing was done that night. Somehow the official map never got changed properly. It's holding me up. I would like the board to decide to remove it and release me as public taking as an official document before I submit the subdivision. I think it's only fair on my part that that's released so before I spend the money on the subdivision and have to deal with that at that time. If you want to talk to Steve, I know, Steve, anything you want to say about it? I know you felt it was done that way as well.
Yes, we thought it was all taken off the map. My name is Steve Hines. I'm at 918 Roush Road.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Steve Hines, 918 Roush Road. At that meeting, we thought it was going to be taken off. They proposed to take roads through our homes, which we felt was unnecessary. Actually up there, the intersection, I've lived up there for 34 years, and if you want to take a study, I think you would ask me. For 34 years, I've watched that intersection. My children all grew up, you're outside, watch everything. There have been accidents there, probably, when I first moved up there, the early 2000s. Now they've put up two big stop signs, put up a street light, a street lamp, and there really has been no accidents there in the last, I'm going to say, 5 years. I don't know if you could obviously look into that exactly, but as of late, there has been no accidents. As far as the traffic up there, it actually flows better up there than if it was a cross intersection. If someone's coming up, coming south on Bullfrog and north on Sand Hill, and they're both making right turns, they can make them at the same time. Now, if you had a cross section, one car could only go at a time. The traffic's really not bad up there. If you want to look at a traffic study, I guess that's why they were thinking about designing it, because of traffic. They put a stop sign down at the end of Bullfrog Valley Pond, and now when the medical center that's out, there might be 30 or 40 cars backed up. There's never that up there at the top of the hill, because cars can move more freely up there. So I just don't think it's very necessary to even consider that, and we would like it taken off the map if we ever sell our properties or do any subdivisions up there, you know, we'd be able to. Thank you.
It creates a hardship, and we'd have to wait a year, and that's where I'm at right now. By law, I have to wait a year for an answer, and I'm asking to fast track only because we thought it was removed.
Yeah, and you said something about public thinking. The official map, you haven't taken any property. It's basically the notification of the property owner that there may be intent to improve that section of the road, which is on your property, and your property as well. And it requires them to, it sounds like you have a subdivision or a development plan you have in the process or anything you've already filed it. Once they put the board on notice, you have 1 year, if you want to take a full year, to think about, number one, whether or not you want to actually take that property and do the improvement, number two, whether or not you want to consider doing it or not. So, like, to his point, at this point, there's nothing requiring you to act at this point. It sounds like he's asking you to decide now rather than wait a year, 2 months, 3 months to make that decision. But
it's going to hurt you financially if you guys wish. If I would have known this, I would have been in here 2 years ago. My land has been for sale for some time, the township's known it, and it's never been said to me until I submit this plan, and then there it was.
But you referenced the taking. I wanted to make it clear that there has been a taking. It's just something on the official map that basically puts the property owner on notice that there may be intent or potential for the township to want to use your land for a certain property.
Anybody have questions for Mr. Ziegler?
I have a question for Mr. Emmerich. You mentioned a development off of Roush. Has that plan expired? Like, it never happened? You said there was a change because there was supposed to be a plan getting some.
That was a plan for 45 lots. The Board of Supervisors ended up rejecting that plan because the developer and the board couldn't come to terms on dedicated park and rec land.
Okay, so there's no plan.
There's no plan actively.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted some clarification. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Let's add two questions. Do you foresee any adverse effects for the township in doing this?
I do not. I think at the time it was a focus. Back in 2003, it was carried on to the official map, because it was one of the improvements that we were thinking about. I think the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study has done a much better global look at the township and helped prioritize, as Natalie and I went through the study, help prioritize what we believe would be important improvements. And this did not even make it as an improvement at all at the intersection within that study. And as I said, that study was mentioned in the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Report as an area for either on-road bike or some trail connection to Schenck Park.
Okay, because of that, you don't feel that we're going to want to do anything up there? Or not in the next foreseeable future?
That's correct. If we get through the other 70 projects, then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Well, no, it's not.
So, Mr. Emmerich, just to be clear, so we can make a motion to, if we're so inclined, a motion to indicate a motion that the intersection modifications originally indicated on the township official map be removed
You're not going to, I actually don't even necessarily know if you need to take action this evening, because you're not going to amend, we're not amending the official map tonight. You can't do that without hearing. It sounds like what they want almost is maybe a consensus from the board as to, yeah, there's no real intent at this point to proceed with the improvements at that location. And likely the scenario will be your plan will be an amendment to the official map. I think that's really what we're looking at this evening.
I would like to have a letter from the board that you're removing the reservation of public taking the official release document. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want to come to you without
that. I think the best you're going to probably get is maybe a letter saying that there's no intent. The township doesn't have an existing intent to proceed with that improvement. We can't remove it from the official map. We can't do that without proceeding with
a long process.
With due respect, I have given you notice to start the time clock.
Okay. And what I'm telling you is if the board's inclined to be agreeable to not taking that full year and whatever they want to do, it would be maybe a letter from the township saying that there's no current intent to proceed with that improvement, maybe to give you the comfort level that you need to proceed with your plan.
That's no comfort level, because if I try to sell it and it's still there, it's a cloud hanging over my property. I'm trying to get that removed, that cloud.
But if
it devalues my property for a year. You still could change your mind within that year.
Well, I guess my understanding was that is there a plan? Is there a land development or a subdivision plan?
No.
It's strictly a subdivision plan. It's been through the Planning Commission. Jay wants some assurances before engaging his consultant to complete the plan that it's not going to crash and burn because of the official map. And that's what he's here for this evening.
I don't want to spend another $10,000 for nothing. If you're going to tell me you're going to take the land for a road. I mean, I want a release. It's what I'd like to have.
What is the timing? What's the timing, Mr. Zuby, of your plan? So, if we were to give you a letter that, if we give you a letter and say, we have no intention of taking land or realigning this intersection, when will you file a plan? How soon? How far off?
It's ready. I just got to finalize what the Planning Commission had said, finish out their notes, to make it suitable for you, and it depends on my engineer can finish it, but I would probably say if not next meeting, the following meeting after that.
So, tell me, what am I missing? I think we want to work with you to make this happen. I just want to know what we need to do.
So my suggested motion on the agenda item, if I could read it and see if that, how that sits with the board, that the preliminary final subdivision plan of 971 Bullfrog Road for Jay Ziegler, plat 1347, if approved, will amend Chapter 126, official map of the Code of the Township of Derry, to remove the reservation for intersection alignment modifications at Bullfrog Valley Road and Roush Road.
Yeah, I would just, not a problem, maybe just add in accordance with the MPC, based upon the fact that the board doesn't have any current intent to proceed with those improvements. Yeah, that'll do it. With the understanding that they're not removing it from the official map at this point. They're simply saying, when your subdivision plan is approved, that will act as the amendment.
I understand that part, yes. So as long as it says
release.
Well, we can't, release.
The plan isn't being approved tonight. The board is just simply telling you there's no current intent to proceed with those improvements, and in the event that your plan is approved, the official map will be amended pursuant to the MPC and pursuant to your potentially.
You want to say NPC?
NPC, Municipality Planning Code.
Okay.
So I want to make sure we repeat the motion correctly so that we get it right.
Do you want me to? If the board were to consider a motion, potentially would be a motion based on the current intent of the township not to proceed with those improvements, that the anticipated preliminary final subdivision plan of 971 Bullfrog Valley Road for Jay Ziegler, plat 1347, if approved, will amend Chapter 106 official map of the Code of the Township of Derry to remove the reservation of intersection alignment modification of Bullfrog Valley Road and Rush Road in accordance with the MPC.
I think we can make that motion. So I'm going to make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion is second by Mr. Zmuda. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. I'm not quite sure what all that means. Does it get taken off the official map eventually?
Will affect him, is what he's asking.
They got a road going right through my house.
Right. Well, wouldn't it if Mr. Ziegler files a plan that gets approved, then it sounds like we are...
Mr. Ziegler's plan will amend the official map for his property on the official map. I'm assuming your property is not part of the subdivision.
Correct. So when is the official map going to get... Since he applied, it says you have 1 year for the whole system, the whole map to be...
For his part of the official map.
So if he applies for something, it just counts for him. It doesn't count for the whole map. Okay, what do we have to do to get to redo the whole map? I don't have a road going through my house.
See, it was a mistake. It shouldn't have been on there.
Would it be cleaner if we just did an amendment to the map?
So just so Mr. Ziegler understands, the amendment will slow his project by about 3 months.
Right. Well, I mean, there is going to be delay.
The approval of the plan...
I'm trying to get you to... But I see... Mr. Hines' issue is that his issue isn't even being addressed by this motion.
Well,
Jay's property, my property, and there's a couple other people's houses that are also affected.
Yeah,
that are not here tonight. I mean,
so to be clear as to what's shown on the official map, yes, there are still lines showing an intersection realignment. Yes, those lines do go through houses. There was discussion at one of the meetings during the public hearing to remove those lines. In subsequent meetings, it was determined that the lines on the map aren't designs. They don't mean that that's exactly where it's going to go. What we did do for Mr. Ziegler and Mr. Hines was we took out intersection realignment and called it intersection improvements. So although there's lines on the map, that doesn't mean that's exactly where the road's going to go. It just means that we were considering intersection improvements.
It means it could go through.
I understand, if any of us own the property and there's lines through our house,
let me make one more suggestion then, too. As we go through the rest of the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study and we start to work into our, capital improvement plan, I think that's an appropriate time to amend the official map. I think we can get Mr. Ziegler through his subdivision by the motion that was made and seconded. And then move on to amending the official map, because I think there's now projects that we may want to show on there as a result of what we did on the Greater Hershey Regional
Transit. That would end up addressing Mr. Hines'
concern. Yes, and take care of the amendments that way.
And when would that happen?
That's probably 8 to 10 months down the line.
Well, here's the plus side. This the same board is going to be here in 8 months to do
it. We just want it off the map.
Yeah,
8 months. I can understand. Jay's trying to do a little project.
I'll be here with you, Steve, in 8 months. All right.
We can commit to doing this, Steve, and making sure I think we're all in support of doing what you need to have done.
Okay.
You and the other homeowners. And at the same time, we can make a motion that sets Mr. Ziegler free to do what he would like to do and eliminates that issue that he's dealing with. So,
and just for the record, I did say 8 to 10 months, right?
You did.
Okay, thank you.
To the...
then we need to commit to Mr. Hines and the other neighbors up there that we will get to that in 8 to 10 months. And we need... That will be our commitment to you, Mr. Hines, and we will get to that.
Will you contact us with letters saying that, or we got to come back to the next meeting in 10 months?
That is not a requirement under the official map.
Okay.
But I'll reach out to you.
Thank you.
So there's been a motion and a second as it pertains to Mr. Ziegler's property. It seems like we've had a lot of good discussion, which is important. Are there any other questions or discussion points?
What about the other three homeowners or property owners up there?
So Steve and Penny, not the Stoll, it's right behind, it's the first property going, what would be south from Sand Hill on the right. They sold it.
Okay.
They didn't put in their disclosure statement because they thought too it was removed. So the new owners, they're not aware of it at all, but it does go right through the front porch of their house. So, yeah, it includes that one as well. I don't think it includes the next property. The original plan from 2004 did. That one up around the backside. But that's...
Chuck, can I ask you to please contact those people when this is done with a letter? Three or four or five people?
So, again, the lines on the official map are not per design. What Jay was just referring to, let me see if I can find it because I had it in my agenda item.
Well, you get excited when a line goes through your house, as you said. I mean, it's not a good feeling.
I just want to make sure everybody knows what's going on up there and that they're all satisfied with this. There's only a handful of folks.
Yeah, it is. It's really three of us, and I'll talk to them. I mean, they just moved in. I kind of hate to do it. I don't want to panic them, you know, from Philadelphia to come here to the country, and it's like, here we go again.
So if I could, the actual plan that was done in 2003 era relocated Sand Hill Road, sweeping. Mr. Hines' house is over here. Jay Ziegler house is over here, and then this is the new lot that's being created. So this was the plan at the time. Because the lines on the official map don't really have any meaning in our design, we chose not to follow these lines at all, which avoid both homes, and to put a random line on the official map indicating that we're looking at doing something in this area. So to say it's going through somebody's house, technically yes on the map, but it's far from designed.
Yeah, but Chuck, normal Joes don't understand that nuance. It looks like a line going through your living room.
If I could give a suggestion as...
And the government can't take your property.
If I could give a suggestion for the future, instead of drawing lines, I've heard that term random too many times coming to the official map meetings. Why not just an area and say this is an area that is for a road and line of project instead of making a decision that has not been based on any study such as that map, that drawing right there? I think that makes more sense in the future. I'm just suggesting it because this is what happens as a property owner when you see a line go through your house.
Well, there's some separate issues here. Let's go ahead and vote on the motion. We made a commitment to Mr. Hines, and I think what Mr. Zmuda would like to see is that we have, at some point here, maybe Mr. Ziegler can help us with identifying the folks that are also impacted, and we could just give them a heads up that they just called. You know, I don't have to be an official letter as opposed to a conversation, Chuck, with your department to let them know what we're planning on doing. Can't imagine they would be opposed to what we're actually doing. No. So I don't see this as really, I think we're putting a lot of effort into something that should be a fairly simple call. And Mr. Ziegler will already set it up and say good things, right, Mr. Ziegler? You'll tell them good stuff that we're going to remove those lines. But we'll make sure that you and the other neighbors get noticed. We have advanced notice before we wind up doing an amendment to the map. Okay, so that's our commitment is to do it in 8 to 10 months, but you'll know well in advance. It won't be after the fact.
Okay.
But we'll take care of
Thank
that.
Thank you.
So, we do have a motion and a second. I think now, is there any other discussion or questions? Okay, then. All in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. That should solve your problem.
Thank you. Okay. I'll see you in 1 or 2 weeks. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve. I'd like to share all of that with us. It's important. And that'll take us to item G on the agenda. which is a briefing item for ordinance number 2022-02. It's amending the zoning ordinance as it relates to wireless communication facilities. Mr. Emery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, there have been recent changes to the laws governing how municipalities regulate wireless facilities. The board did authorize staff to work with Grim, Bean, and Thatcher to develop what is now the attached ordinance to this agenda item, which was slightly tweaked today, but generally it's still saying the same thing. This ordinance will bring us into compliance with the new laws. What we're looking to do is forward the ordinance to the Derry Township and Dauphin County Planning Commissions for review and recommendation, to advertise the ordinance for a 6 p.m. public hearing on April 26th, and to list consideration and adoption of the ordinance also at the regular board meeting on April 26th.
The only thing I'll just, so everyone's going in with eyes wide open, this is a zoning amendment, and it's gonna address all the statutory amendments that took place last year. But when you send it to the County Planning Commission and advertise at the same time, if the county were to respond with certain comments or certain suggestions to amend it, if we were to amend it after having it advertised, we'd have to advertise it all over again. So just if you're gonna do them both concurrently, I would be have the understanding that if the county suggests certain recommendations that you maybe like, and we incorporate it into the ordinance, we'll have to advertise it again. So sometimes we say if we think the county is gonna make recommendations or comments that the board may like, we say maybe hold off on advertising until you get those comments back. But I don't have a feel as to where Dauphin County is on the wireless spectrum. So, you could just do it with the assumption that you're not going to change the ordinance regardless and advertise. But if they do suggest any changes and you'd like them to make a change, you're going to have to go advertise for a later date. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let that to you. If you're okay authorizing it, can you send it to the county to see and advertise it for the April 26th meeting, you can do so just with the understanding that if there are any revisions after that, we'll have to pick a new date and advertise it again.
So, and if I could just add to that, the reason that I have it on such a compressed schedule is because the act that changed took effect October 28th of 2021, and I guess I'll pay for a second ad if we need to, but I'd like to get us.
And that's okay. If you get an application, the statute controls. I mean, the ordinance incorporates the statute. To be honest with you, when municipalities, and before they've adopted these ordinances, when you get an application from Verizon or Sprint PCS, they've always come to terms with an agreement if they understand. And basically, the agreement is typically specifically right out of the ordinance in the statute. So it's not, I'm not that concerned with the timing, but if the board's okay proceeding with both, you can do so.
I just have a question. I know you pulled everything up to show us what the crossing looks like. What do these look like? I'm having a hard time in my mind what we're talking about in this language.
I'm assuming you're talking about the small wireless.
Yes.
Those are just, they typically try to attach to telephone poles, right? I mean, they're small, they're short, they attach to, in order to qualify for small wireless, what's the height, 50 feet, is it 50 feet? They can't be higher than 50 feet. And they typically look for telephone poles within municipalities. And they look like little box. I mean, some of the, I saw in here, Will and Chuck, you incorporated certain design standards as an attachment, some of it's stealth. I mean, it can vary, but if you have a good stealth technology, they go on telephone poles and,
So a lot of the small cells are more like what you see.
So, I mean, it says it's 50, nice view.
On the screens. Here or here or here. Sometimes they look like a can. But and here. So, however, our ordinance not only does the small cell, but it also affects the larger towers. Okay, it's all inclusive. The ordinance is for telecommunication. So, the ordinance also will talk about these types of towers in regulation, what's permitted. and co-location.
I think this is just kind of to bring it up to speed.
It is, there were some very slight revisions to the statute, specifically to what they call the shot clock. You have a certain period of time when you get an application to act on those applications. The permit fees, there's a set fee as to what you can require them to pay. But the biggest change in the last couple of years have been these small wireless facilities and the ability for them to be located within the right way.
Do we know what they're going to look like? I mean, to Natalie's original point.
If you want to drive over by Hershey Park, we have, I don't remember now, Crown Castle did a project 5 years ago. I think there's either 23 or 32. Those are the two numbers that are sticking in my head, of them spread around Hershey Park. And the advantage of having the small cell, especially in the area of Hershey Park, now they're using them in town more now, but the advantage of having them in Hershey Park is when there's concerts and things, it would wipe out our cell service if they weren't there. It helps expand the bandwidth, the availability of signal, which is why the first project went around Hershey Park. You can see, if you go to the Hershey Historical Society, there's one on a light pole out there between the Historical Society and the new apartment building being built there.
Do we have any say over it? I mean, do we have any input over what the device looks like?
Well, we require stealth. You know, in many areas, we prohibit them on acorn lights, we prohibit them on KISS lights. And I think we even put in a distance within a KISS light that they're prohibited, just to try and keep that view shed open. You know, the township spent a lot of money long ago to put all of the wires in the back alleys. That's where I would push any of the small cells. And as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I think there's one over by Hidden Still that is still part of the network that goes around Hershey Park, that gets lost in the massive wires and poles that are in the alleys. And as I said, it affects other things. If you guys go by Fishburne Church, did you notice what they did there? It's really cool. It's like one of the best stealth installations I've ever seen. Take a look next time you're on Fishburne Road by Fishburne Church. They took and added another layer of bricks on the bell tower that mimicked the windows, and that was for a cell tower. So yes, we do have some say, especially over the stealth.
Right, so we have to essentially, we need to go ahead and schedule this, and then we'll be able to discuss some of these items later. We can either have them run simultaneously or have them delayed. One a little bit, so there's time for the county planning commission to review and send back to us. Your recommendation is kind of simultaneous.
Has the commission kicked any of these back yet? Do you know?
So
not just ours, but other.
If you recall, the county planning commission engaged Cohen Law Group to do the cell tower ordinances really for the municipalities in Dauphin County. So Cohen really writes their model ordinance and then spreads it through the townships. And no offense, but that's what Grimbean did, was took model ordinances and made it ours. We reviewed it. We added things. I mean, our final ordinance has in things that no other ordinance does, unless, you know, somewhere else where there's KISS lights. So it is tailored to us. But it's basically a model ordinance.
All right. Well, then, any other questions? Or Chuck, or any discussion, if not, we can entertain a motion. I'll go ahead and make a motion that the board authorizes staff to forward ordinance number 2022-02 to Peoria Township and Dauphin County Planning Commissions for review and recommendation. And we advertise ordinance number 2022-02 for a 6 p.m. public hearing on April 26, 2022. And to list consideration of adoption of ordinance number 2022-02 on the agenda for the regular Board of Supervisors meeting on that same evening, April 26, 2022. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, motion seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Any further discussion?
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. The next item on the agenda is H, consideration of entering into the First Amendment to the development agreement for the final lot consolidation and land development plan for the Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Phase, Plat 1330. Chuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item was actually on your agenda 2.5 months ago, where you authorized Pat to work with the developer, Pat and I to work with the developer to amend the developer's agreement as it relates to notification for blasting. So that was done, it was circulated, it was now signed by the Hershey Trust Company. This is simply bringing it to you for accompanying signatures.
Questions for Chuck? Does seem like we made the adjustments that we talked about at that meeting, so I'm pleased to see that they're in here, so thank you. I'll go ahead and make a motion. The board enters into the First Amendment to development agreement for the final lot consolidation and land development plan for the Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Phase, Plat 1330. And the board authorizes me, the chairperson, to sign the amendment on behalf of the board. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. The next item is item I, consideration of authorizing installation of a flashing pedestrian light at the West Chocolate Avenue Valley Road intersection. Mr. Emmerich.
So at this point, we know what they look like. Same thing we had up on the screen just a little while ago. So this this particular light at West Chocolate Avenue and Valley Road, we've been trying to get installed to help slow down traffic, make them aware of our pedestrian community that are in town. This particular project, we would look at funding through liquid fuels monies. It is designed, it is approved at PennDOT. I'm recommending that, and it has been, we've received three phone bids for installation, which are in your board packet. We also have a letter of recommendation from HRG, and they too are recommending that the board authorizes Atlantic Transportation Systems to install the rectangular rapid flashing beacons at a cost of $10,710, utilizing liquid fuels monies, which is the most expeditious way of getting this done.
Very good. Questions from Mr. Emmerich?
I want to throw a monkey wrench into this at all. I'm a little confused. Mr. Chris, I think you're part of this too. I was under the impression we were going to use another stream of funding for this. What happened?
If you look to use the ARPA dollars, right now, the way we are required to report to U.S. Treasury on the use of those funds is we're looking to reimburse the general fund for expenses already incurred. That would have happened between March 3rd, 2021 to the present. And the easiest way for us, and the least amount of resistance to get that money into our accounts for use, is to reimburse ourselves for expenses on salaries and wages. That would cover approximately the $2.6 million that we're going to be allocated from the federal government. The only way that money can then be encumbered for another purpose is to move it into the general fund, and then an equivalent amount of real estate tax dollars would have to be transferred back out of the general fund to an account, a holding account. What I've been requesting of the board through each year's budget process for the last 2 years is to take that money, and that becomes the basis of a long-term reserve. Everyone has agreed with that. It is unencumbered, and there's no restriction on its use because it's real estate tax dollars that have come into the general fund, so it's not restricted. The board has said if there are some projects that we want to tackle, some of the improvements in this room we wanted to do, the crosswalks was a discussion. The reason that liquid fuels is being utilized in this particular case for this particular intersection is the timing of the project. Until real estate tax dollars can begin to flow through the door in an equivalent amount of the ARPA dollars that are in our fund that are sitting there, we can't really use that money. We can't make the switch. I know it sounds like a shell game, but that is what it is for reporting purposes for U.S. Treasury requirements. So that's why we're recommending that we have the ability to use liquid fuel funds for this intersection, since it has been a priority of the board to get those signals installed.
I understand, and thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I just remember your aversion to using the liquid fuels money. Will liquid fuels be reimbursed when that funding becomes available?
I mean, we can certainly do that. I'm going to have to confer with our consultants about whether or not liquid fuels can be reimbursed with those dollars. I don't see why they wouldn't be, but you know, for all intents and purposes, it's an allowable expense under the Liquid Fuels Act. You know, so you can use it for this type of use, but it is certainly a consideration.
My concern is that it's early in the year, and using liquid fuels this early in the year might preclude us from using it on other worthy projects later on down the road.
I mean, I'm happy to reimburse the account. I just want to make sure it's consistent with what Pennsylvania Department of Transportation is going to allow us to do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Bonanno, by us putting this in motion today, will this intersection be signalized by the time tourist season comes around when there's a lot of traffic going through? Do we think it'll be done by end of May?
We would have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Eric Stump is actually
so the often in the transportation committee about funding and trying to get this done as quickly as possible.
I will say again that this is the most expeditious way to get it.
Okay, got it. Okay.
All right, good. Any other questions or discussion? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors awards the installation of the rectangular rapid flashing beacons at the intersection of West Chocolate Avenue and Valley Road to Atlantic Transportation System at a cost of $10,710 utilizing liquid fuels.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Zuda. Any further questions or discussion? Here are none. All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Here are none. The ayes have it. Motion passes. The next item is on the agenda. Is it my imagination, or does it just keep getting longer?
Crossing them off. And
all right. It's J. It's a request by the Downtown Hershey Association to have alcoholic beverages in Chocolatetown Square Park in conjunction with events that are part of the DHA's Life on Chocolate event series for 2022.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Downtown Hershey Association is planning its 2022 Life on Chocolate event series. DHA would like to engage wineries, breweries, and distilleries in the events as it has done in past years. The Downtown Hershey Association is committed to ensuring that any alcohol service provided at Life on Chocolate events is done so in a safe and responsible manner. The organization continues to coordinate the events with the Derry Township Police Department and works with local vendors who supply and serve alcohol to guarantee the proper licensing and the Responsible Alcohol Management Program, or RAMP, or the training for intervention procedures, TIPS, alcohol-certified servers and bartenders are in place. And you're wondering why I'm here with this agenda item, I'm sure. I brought this forward last year as well. DHA has been without a manager as of last week.
2 days ago.
2 days ago. They actually did hire a manager again, but that's why I'm bringing this forward.
All right, any questions? Concerns?
Since I'm on the DHA, should I recuse myself?
I'm going to stay here on the side of options. And you indicated you're going to have the proper licenses or permits and the insurance that's necessary.
Yes, yes.
Very well, then we'll entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors allow alcoholic beverages to be on the property of Chocolate Town Square Park in conjunction with the Downtown First Street Association's 2022 Life on Chocolate Series events, including Market on Chocolate, Music on Chocolate, Art Show and Culture Fest, Chocolate-tober Fest, and Holiday Celebration.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Carrato. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 And I am recusing myself because I'm a member of the DHA Association.
One abstention noted. Any opposition? Hearing none, the ayes have it. 3-0. One abstention. Motion passes. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is K. It's the request for closure of West Aurora Avenue between Bay Road and Valley Road for the annual St. John Mark Church Festival. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A letter of request was received from Festival Paul Schroeder in February of 2022 asking for assistance. Mr. Schroeder had requested West Aurora Avenue between Valley Road and Glen Road to be closed to traffic for added safety due to heavy pedestrian traffic attending the festival. This area along West Aurora Avenue will be used for handicap parking as well. Paul Schroeder indicated that festival committee members will be contacting local residents who reside within the requested road closure to inform them of the festival and of the intended road closure. The dates of the festival are June 9, 10, and 11 this year. Festival committee members are requesting the road be closed each day during the festival operating hours from 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. Festival committee personnel will be responsible for placing and removing the barricades during the times of the road closures. This has been an annual event with no issues reported and or observed with road closure, and it makes it safer for persons attending the festival. While Schroeder advised the festival committee will be complying with any CDC guidelines that may be in effect at the time, whether they peel them back or ramp them up again, regarding COVID-19. So there's no budget impact. We'll make the request for the barricades to be placed out prior to the event and then pick up afterwards. And as stated, there's really no issues with this event before, so. I don't know if there's any way from the church here. It's pretty much a routine event, so.
I heard every word you said. I've used this ear, left ear for that.
it was riveting.
But are there any questions for the chief on this item? Any discussion? This is the easiest one we've had. It was the one Chuck just did. This is now replaces the DHA one is the easiest. So I'll go ahead and make a motion that we, what's the actual language here? Motion that we approve road closure 300 block of West Reed Avenue in the evenings of June 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2022 from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the annual St. John of Arc Festival. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Any questions or discussion? Hearing on all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing on the ayes have it, the motion is approved. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
The next item is L, the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 428 West Aurora Avenue, S-2022-001. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These stormwater management facilities are for an addition, patio, and driveway at 1426 Church Road. The applicant and property owners are Daniel and Hannah Smith. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommends that financial security in the amount of $10,221 be provided, which the applicants have done in the form of cash and have entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security. Oh, I'm on the wrong one. You know, I apologize for that. Should we continue with this item and then come back? We're almost there.
Let's skip ahead to M. This is for 1426 Church Road, that's -2021-028.
My apologies, and I recommend that the Board of Supervisors accept the cash financial security in the amount of $10,221 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Daniel and Hannah Smith for the stormwater management plan for 1426 Church Road, S-2021-028.
Questions for Chuck? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $10,221 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Daniel and Hannah Smith for the stormwater management plan for 1426 Church Road, S-2021-028.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. Go back to L, which is acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 428 West Arriva Avenue.
Again, my apologies. I put them in my book room. This plan was submitted to detail the design of stormwater management facilities for a new dwelling at 428 West Arriva. The applicant and property owner is Kenneth Kramer. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $13,107 is to be provided. The applicant has provided the security in the form of cash and has entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the financial security in the amount of $13,107 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Kenneth C. Kramer for the stormwater management plan for 428 West Arriva Avenue, S-2022-01.
Questions for Chuck? If not, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we accept the financial security in the amount of $13,107 from Kenneth C. Kramer for the stormwater management plan for 428 West Arriva Avenue. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving, please vote aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. That item passes unanimously. Next item is Supervisor Board Committee Reports. Mr. Zanuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two items to report. We had a DCB, Downtown Core Design Board meeting on February 28th. We approved a cigar lounge signage on Hidden Stills, which I'm looking personally looking forward to. And signage on the Town Square Drive, the new market behind Chocolate Avenue. Additionally, on March 4th, I met with what was left of the Middletown Road Coalition for lunch, and we discussed concerns that they have for their area. I asked them to please condense what they have and provide it to me while we're out here. That's all I have.
Very good, thank you. Mr. Crowder.
No report.
Mrs. Nutt?
No report.
All right, I will just report that Mrs. Nutt and I, as the two representatives of the town from the township for the township school district joint working group, met two Fridays ago.
Yes.
And we had a number of items on our list of items to go over with the school board members, the two school board member representatives, which were the president of the school board and the vice president of the school board. And meeting, as we expected, went very well. We had good productive dialogue on things relating to the community center. And I'm drawing a blank. And on the tax association, thank you very much. So good dialogue between the school district and the township, which is really important to both entities and to our residents. So happy to report that. The next item on our agenda is departmental reports. Start with the chief.
The only thing I have tonight is just to reiterate, appreciate the board's support in our pursuit of excellence through accreditation. We will also be receiving our reaccreditation through CALEA, which is the Commission for Accreditation of Law Enforcement Agencies. That is an international accreditation, which we started in 1997. So we'll be receiving our reaccreditation for that agency at the end of the month. So both accreditation commissions will be taken care of this year, and we'll be good for another
3 years with Pennsylvania and 4 years with the international accreditation.
Good. Very good. Thank you, Chief. Public Works, Mr. Piccolo, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to report.
You waited all this evening for hours.
I had nothing else to do.
You're guilty, you've been. All right, thank you. Then, Ms. Troutman, the library.
The library will be hosting Fiona Davis, the author of the Magnolia Palace and the Lions of Fifth Avenue, on April 2nd at 2 p.m. Tickets are $20 and they're on sale now. And we look forward to seeing everyone there.
Good, thank you, Allison. Mr. Jackson, Parks and Rec.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are getting to the finishing stages of the community center construction. Some of the major items on the list for this week include pouring outdoor walkways, the installation of flooring in the gymnasium and the fitness center, installing the glass doors at our main entrance, construction of the outdoor splash pad, which you can probably see from Cocoa Avenue, and then also the starting and balancing of all of our HVAC systems. Also, we're just about a month away from our egg hunt at Shank Park. That will be held Saturday, April 9th at 10 o'clock. And big thank you to the Hershey Company for supplying the candy again this year. The Moeller Center, who is currently working very hard filling all 10,000 eggs for us for that event, so we really appreciate that. And then also the fire department, who will be delivering the Easter Bunny again this year.
So, any truth to the rumor that Mr. Corrado is going to be the Easter Bunny?
I cannot confirm more than that.
I just have one question. I have one question as sure. I feel I've been asked about. At a time when we allow people to buy park benches and place them along the trail, and do we still do that? Where they like put a little plaque on there?
We do. We currently have suspended that program just because of public workload. Obviously, they would be shipped there and they would put them in. And then we are kind of running out of really useful spaces for them. We just don't want to put arbitrary benches everywhere, just have, you know, rows of benches along the trail. So we've temporarily suspended that program for the time being, but we do envision bringing that back.
Thank you. I'm going to apply one for myself. Just want to make sure I can do it. Put some money up front.
Is that part of your job?
Township engineer, Matt Banana.
Nothing tonight.
Jack, community development?
Nothing more this evening, thank you.
Mr. Crispin.
Mr. Chairman, just to report that Supervisor Wyckoff and I attended the monthly DTMA board meeting for February on February 28th. Among a whole variety of things that we've talked about, sewer revenue bonds were authorized in the amount of $10 million for the authority to continue its continuous capital project renewal updates. We talked about the 2021 year in review, and a lot of construction updates were provided for all of the different projects that are going on at the facility. Lastly, Sarah Ryan, the new stormwater management coordinator, did provide an update of all of the projects she is working on, and to let this board know that we're looking to schedule to have Bill Rakoff and Sarah Ryan here at our next meeting on the 22nd. They will be under new business as a specific agenda topic, so they can come and talk about all the wonderful things going on in the world of sewer and stormwater. So we're happy to have them. That's all I have for you this evening.
We had requested an update from HEMR on the pilot center, or the Giant Center pilot agreement. We get any feedback from them? I know we tend to have them present at the next ICDA meeting, which is next month.
Yes, I did receive correspondence from HENR earlier this afternoon, basically noting that as of right now, their 12/31/21 forecast that they distributed last year is holding on what they had anticipated. Unfortunately, it looks that they aren't prepared to make some kind of pilot payment for this year, but it's still under consideration. They are also looking to have a full report to this board and to the ICDA board at the end of the first quarter. So that's all I'm receiving this afternoon.
Okay, so we're going to expect that they have their update at the ICDA meeting in April, the Board of Supervisors meeting in April, that they'll update us on 2021 performance and whether or not, and where those numbers wound up, and whether or not, it sounds like in the AP projections that there isn't going to be a payment made for 2021 because they didn't meet the threshold to have a surplus to be able to make a payout. But we're going to want to know, and then we'll have some update on the first quarter progress, and they'll have updated projections. I think it's important for us, and as a board, for us to know, as you know, when we're having these conversations with them, that the, you know, the, we'll be able to ask specific questions. But it did seem like their revenues, hotel receipts, improved pretty significantly over the last, I'd say, 6 months, certainly before the end of 2021. And so we'd like to really delve into that to figure out, again, if there's any ability to make a payment to us or the school district, partial or otherwise, our expectation is that they're going to be making them. But, and I know you know that. I'm not telling you that because you've been part of our discussions. But and we had wanted an update for tonight, but it sounded like they were in the midst of their own corporate board meeting, and so we kind of caught them at a off guard in terms of coming here prepared for the presentation. But our expectation is they will be here in April ready to answer our questions.
Yes, and I have asked them to revisit their models, refresh them based on current hotel tax receipts as well. So they're aware that we're looking for more information other than we'll wait and see.
Okay, so this is the next, that concludes item, you know, our departmental reports. Next, visitor public comment session. Anybody who's wishing to come forward, this is the time to do so. I think we've almost outlasted all of the public here tonight. So, you know, Mr. Gables is tired as we are, it's obvious, we're all tired. Seeing as no one is coming forward, we will entertain a motion for the call.
Motion
made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second? Second by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Motion adjourned. Thank you, everyone.